And
it is going to continue in its normal form for the next 2 hours. The bad news is it's me, Addison.
That's not bad news.
Because they just said, you know, this is the Steve Hallstrom show, and now some rookie is in here filling in.
Well, this is what happens when we leave the door unlocked and Steve escapes.
Correct. Yes. How'd we let him go anyway? Actually, he did my show this morning, which is wonderful. I did not get a chance to hear it because I was unavoidably detained at a wonderful event. Once a month, I do a little fellowship with some fellow business leaders. And you might know about it. It is actually, I believe, nationwide, but there's a really robust group in North Dakota. And there are, I don't know, 4 to 6 people, I guess, on any given day. And you do it once a month. And it's called the Christian Businessmen's CBMC. Christian Businessmen's Gathering. So anyway, I think that's the name of it. But I enjoy it. And so it is 7 in the morning. So Steve and I once a month have to flip on the third Thursday. So Addison, you'll be dealing with me more than just one every now and then.
Oh, that's your pleasure to work with,
oh,
Scott.
Thank you.
You say it like you're a pest.
You're very kind. You're very kind. We have a telephone number here that is the Valley Christian Counseling phone line. I'll do my best to be the counselor, or maybe you can counsel me. And that number is 701-271-1100. You can email us at studio@flagfamily.com. More and more, we get more texts than calls in the talk radio world, which is why Jay Thomas, is that his name again? I can't remember. Jay
something along those lines.
Yeah, thinks he's kind of a big deal on the other end of the hall. He won't take texts.
He doesn't take texts?
No.
Just phone calls and emails?
Yep.
He takes emails, though.
I don't know that he does. I think Ronnie gets the emails and maybe tells them once in a while. But it's actually pretty wise of that old talk radio horse, because he thinks people too easily text rather than call then. And he'd rather have a conversation with them. And I'm the same way. But I have people scold me every now and then to say, well, not everybody can call in. Some people are at work. And I get it. So we try to meet you where you are. And that is, if you want to call, fantastic. Call us on the Valley Christian Counseling phone line, 701-271-1100. If you prefer to email us, that's okay, too. studio@flagfamily.com. I'd rather text. All right, just like the kids, they all want to text. My kids say they don't use the phone as a phone.
Just use it to text.
If you ever texted somebody, and I'm sorry, called somebody, and then 30 seconds later they text you what with a question mark?
Almost every time I try to call someone these days.
So the last time I did that with my daughter, I said, well, answer the phone is what the what is, right? And she answered, but she said, you know what? I don't use my phone like that. This is kids today.
That's what it's meant for.
Correct. Anyway, you can text us if you don't use your phone for anything other than texting, 701-237-1590. Two other ways, if you have a pen and paper handy, that you can join the program that are lesser known but happen every now and then. One is we get snail mail around here. The United States Post Office mailman delivers to our box out there on 2852 Thunder Road, and people actually write our names and addresses on an envelope, write something on a piece of paper, stick it in the envelope, lick the envelope, and put a stamp on it, Addison. Have you heard of that before?
I can't say I have, no.
You don't even get bills in the mail anymore.
You know what? As a young adult at the ripe age of 26, I can say I have never written a letter and mailed it to anyone. I've never used a stamp. I don't.
See, this makes me weep for the future, because without stamps, World War II veterans would have never heard from home.
That's true.
And the value of a letter that you hold in your hand, you can't put a price tag on it. I have letters from my grandfather to my grandma. You know, kind of love letters?
Yeah.
I have letters from my grandma on my birthday when I was like 11 years old. So those are pretty special. They get all faded every now and then, and you got to kind of whatever. I should have brought it in because it would be a whole segment on the show, but I visited my 95-year-old aunt, who's a nun, and she lives in St. Cloud, Minnesota. She is of my mom's 14 siblings. She is Uncle Al, Sister Janet, oh, and Aunt Lucille. Only three are left. And she is the oldest of the living siblings.
95, you
said? Yeah.
Wow.
So when I go see her, if I'm driving through St. Cloud, she knows that I'm not going to be there long. She usually wants me to stay for dinner, and it's really bad food. So anyway, I don't want to bug her forever, and she's 95, and I'm in a hurry to get home too, or wherever I'm going, so do a half hour or whatever. And she wants to get all this stuff out, and she usually goes to her file cabinet and pulls out a file and says, I've been meaning to give you this. And the last one she did that was love letter, grandpa to grandma, and it's in my truck right now, and all of my grandma's favorite sayings. And wow. Somebody had typed that out. And most of them I use on the radio regularly. That's you know, right. Like, I'm trying to think of a couple. Things take time, or, you know, marriage is 75-25. 75 him, 25 me. You know, stuff like that. My favorite one of all time, and I remember it without looking at it because my mom would say it because her mom said it, was coincidences are God's sealed orders. What does that mean to you, Addison?
Gosh.
How old are you?
I'm 26.
Okay, it took me to 45 to understand what she was saying. So you can be fairly forgiven, but what do you think it means?
I've got some time to ponder.
You do.
Gosh.
You can tell me later after the break.
I might have to.
Okay. When somebody says coincidences are God's sealed orders, what are they actually saying? So let's define a coincidence before we go to a break. You leave the parking lot today and somebody has a flat tire a mile down the road and you say, what the heck have I got to do but get home? I'm going to help them fill their tire. And maybe it happened to be a young lady that was 10, 20-something and then you say, well, would you ever like to have lunch? You following me?
Yeah.
So there's a coincidence.
Yeah.
But maybe it wasn't.
Hmm.
You keep thinking about it.
Yeah, you've given me something to really ponder about.
That's beautiful. I have a list of things to talk about here. Is this Steve leaving me a list to talk about, or is this yesterday's news?
He might have left you a list. I'm not sure what he's left in there,
It says
though.
Paid leave. It says mega plenty. Can you be a proud Trump supporter and still win? And it says Mike and Rolog. That means Mike and Rolog called. But did he talk about all this stuff yesterday, or is he leaving me little breadcrumbs to talk about today?
Gosh, not that I remember about, but
all right.
You've really piqued my interest with paid leave.
Well, I will tell you in a minute, paid leave. So if you work for us, as you do, Addison, and you have exhausted all of your PTO, but your mom dies, or your sister dies, or you have some health issue, we as a company have to let you go as long as you want to go. And you're getting paid while you're gone.
Really? I didn't know that.
Yeah. Now, the good news is this is in Minnesota, not North Dakota, or we'd be broke. And so if Addison didn't show up because he's on paid family leave, who does Addison's job? Somebody who has to be paid to do your job. Now I'm paying you for being gone.
And you're paying someone else to pick
Correct.
Slack.
Mm. And the worst part of this is you're partially paying for this because additional money comes out of your paycheck to do it. So really they've got you kind of thinking you're getting paid when you kind of paid in because it's a little tax off your payroll check.
Yeah.
And the state obviously pays and, you know, businesses pay. Everybody pays. And we already have some version of this anyway, federally. Mm-hmm. So this is just Minnesota being stupid. And unfortunately, Rob Kupak, who is a state senator from Moorhead, had the opportunity to stop this debt in its tracks and delay it. And because he's so encumbered would be the word I'd use, beholden in the grips of Tim Walz and the Democratic majority, he went along with it. And if he and a couple others would have said, you know, I'm not going to do that, this wouldn't be happening. This will crush Minnesota businesses. And not big businesses, because they don't care. They'd pay you and three people and just say it'll be fine.
Yeah.
But the little guys will get crushed by that.
Yeah, I can imagine. Ugh, that doesn't sound good.
But I'm not sure Minnesota Democrats at least care about the little guy. They claim to. So that's what that's about. The mega Pawlenty thing, if Steve wanted us to talk about this, is that Tim Pawlenty is the former governor of Minnesota. He was governor for 8 years. He was a Republican. He ran for governor. Ran for president after being governor for 8 years. And did he run against Trump? I think he ran against Trump in 2016. He was one of the Marco Rubio, the Rand Paul, the Jeb Bush, the parade of Republican candidates for president. Pretty good one. Very blue collar. I'm trying to remember. I know he did this. He was also on John McCain's short list of being VPs. So anyway, and that may be when he was governor. Doesn't really matter. So Pawlenty ran against Trump, and then Pawlenty said some bad stuff about Trump. By bad, I mean just like any Republican would do that is running against him, okay? And he thinks that Trump can't stand him. And now a lot of people are going to Tim Pawlenty saying, will you please run for the Senate in Minnesota? Because there's two Democratic senators from Minnesota now. One is Tina Smith, and she's retiring, and the other one is Amy Klobuchar, two Democrats. I don't remember her name. You can Google this for me, but Lieutenant Governor Flanagan, I don't remember her first name, in Minnesota. She's Tim Walz's lieutenant governor, and she is Elizabeth Warren crazy. Pocahontas, well, I shouldn't say that, because she actually is Native American. Elizabeth Warren just claimed to be, so I take that back. She is of Native American descent. And believes that she can be anything she wants to be because the Democratic Party is going to say, if I don't vote for a Native American, I'm racist. And she's probably right. So she's running with the benefit of all the AOC, Ilhan Omar, Bernie Sanders kind of wing of the party, and likely will be the Democratic nominee. There's another woman called Angie Craig. She's from a different district in Minnesota. She's a normal Democrat, and there's very few of those left. And she is trying to vie for it. She would probably be elected because she's a normal Democrat in Minnesota, and there's more people. 17 counties outnumber all the rest of the counties in Minnesota. So... But I believe if Tim Pawlenty was endorsed by Donald Trump and the MAGA movement, we would pick up one more Senate seat. But Tim Pawlenty thinks there's a better chance of hell freezing over than Donald Trump endorsing him or the Republican Party in Minnesota nominating him because MAGA wouldn't like him, which is really cutting off your nose to spite your face. Because Tim Pawlenty can attract suburban women in some of those 17 counties who like a hockey player from South St. Paul and a really reasonable governor for 8 years who was center-right. So maybe Steve wanted to talk about that. Now it's time to ask you what you want to talk about. Any of that? Or you can answer the question of the day. What did my mom mean when she said coincidences are God's sealed orders? Still got to get Addison's answer in here too. Call us 701-237-1590. Send a letter. Put a stamp on it. 2852 Thunder Road, south in Fargo. We love those, too. More of the Steve Hallstrom Show in moments. Is this REO Speedwagon? Is that REO Speedwagon?
It is.
Wow, how about that? I get the trivia win. I love it. Do you like REO Speedwagon at 20-some years of age?
It's a good song.
Oh, it's a very good song. I love it. All right, let's go REO for the rest of the show. Can you do that?
I think I can do that.
Get off the playlist. Back on What's On Your Mind, brought to you today by... Vision Ford Lincoln. Do you know Hallstrom drives a Navigator? Have you seen that Boss rig of his?
I've seen. It's pretty impressive.
Unbelievable. Gets all across the Fruited Plain from our Grand Rapids, Minnesota operation to the Watford City operation and everywhere in between. And it took him 15 minutes to buy it.
Only 15 minutes?
I'm not joking. He called Ward Cater I think he called Ward Sr. and Ward Jr. said, I'll drive it up, and you can sign the papers in your driveway. That happened, which is why you want to drive with vision. Go to drivewithvision.com, and you'll buy your next ride in 15 minutes or less. What was your first vehicle, Anderson?
I'm still driving my first vehicle.
That's pretty cool.
It is a red 2009 Ford Fusion. It just rolled over 260,000 miles, and I think starting next year, it might be time to finally start looking for something a little newer.
Well, it's probably going to be worth a nickel by the time you trade it in.
Oh, I'd be surprised if even that.
But if it gets you where you're going, I would say you're in no hurry.
Every time without fail. It's never let me down.
Exactly right. Go see Board and the crew. They'll take care of you on that.
That's my plan.
Trade-in. All right. Craig and Moorhead is next at 701-271-1100 on the Steve Hallstrom Show. Hi, Craig.
Hey, I'd like to use your show here for an ideal I had.
Please do. Please do.
I'll give you the background. The city council in Moorhead, they start every council meeting with a land acknowledgement that we're on Native American land and they have been here for hundreds of thousands of years and they want to acknowledge that fact. Well, at the end of every council meeting, they all can give an update. Well, Heather, one of my council people, decided for her update to say, well, we do acknowledge it. The city of Moorhead should do more, and we should all do more. So here's my thought, for Heather and anybody that thinks like her. You go to a lawyer right now, and you will your house and land to the nearest reservation. You do not have to give it to your kids. You can give it back. So that's my thought.
Okay, let's walk through this a sec, should we?
Yes.
When did this start?
A couple of years ago, and like I say, that's fine. Acknowledge it and do that. But
I don't think we should acknowledge it. I think it's racist to acknowledge that.
Well, if they're going to do that, you don't have to. I will your house. To the, you know, wait till you die and give it to, you know, Standing Rock or whoever you want to, you know, the Ojibwe or,
I get where you're going, but I think it's racist. I think you're saying, hey, Craig, you're on stolen land because you screwed over the Native Americans and you didn't screw over the North. You didn't screw them over. Now you're being charitable by saying, well, fine, if you feel that way, then give the money to the Native Americans or give them your home. Let them move in. And all
or
I'm
shut
saying,
up, one of the two.
Yeah, or shut up would be the better answer. I'd like to know what the mayor thinks about this. How long has Shelley Carlson been the mayor of Moorhead? Longer than 2 years?
A couple years. She's got a level head, unlike most of them.
She does.
Rob Kupek's wife is about as far left as they get there.
Wait a minute. Rob Kupek's wife is on the Moorhead City Council?
Yeah. Deb White is married to Rob Kupek, and she's a Moorhead City Council member.
Did not know that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
She's about as left. She works at MSU, of course, and is a city council member for a couple of years now.
Huh. Interesting.
That's all you need to know, doesn't it?
Yeah, I need to have a whole show about Moorhead. I like Shelley Carlson a lot. She's actually a Shirtell relative by marriage to my wife. And I've been on chamber trips with her to Minnesota for the state legislature, which is more brain damage than anybody should have to go through. And she maneuvers that very well. And also to D.C. And she impresses me as a leader. I think anybody actually that runs for public office, they're not necessarily doing it to be about them. They have a pure motive in it. Some come from the AOC Bernie Sanders wing of while we're here, and it sounds like there's more of that there than not. I like your idea, though. I think it's the more charitable idea.
Yeah. And one last thing I have to tell you. Shelley Carlson, every time I've ever emailed her for anything, she gets right back to you. She is very good.
Yeah, she is. I agree. But Addison, make a note that we invite Shelley Carlson on, and we talk about how the city council meetings start.
No, man.
And if Steve doesn't want to do it, I'll steal it and do it on What's on Your Mind. All right, Craig, thank you. Yeah, appreciate it. Crystal, who is essentially a talk show host here, she has a little mini talk show every now and then. And What's on Your Mind, Crystal?
Scott, I love you as a brother. Hey, thank you so much for bringing up Tim Pawlenty, because he is a very common sense kind of Republican guy going through the members of the Minnesota House Legislature. I grew up in Minnesota, so I've been following him a little bit, really like him. He'd be great to go for the Senate race.
Well, he did run in
2012.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. 2012. You're right. So he ran for president, the nomination with McCain. No, with Mitt Romney. With Mitt Romney.
Michelle Bachmann also ran that year. Bachmann ran for president, and she won the Iowa caucus that year.
Yeah, she did. And by the way, we got to get Michelle Bachmann back on. I love that woman, in a plutonic kind of way. I wouldn't want to get Maria nervous, and she has a fine husband who's in the mental health world. But she is a force of nature. She has more guts and more cojones, to borrow a phrase, than any male member of the United States House ever. I love the woman, and I forgot she ran for president, though. And then she stopped. But anyway...
Yes,
thank you for the history lesson on 2012 on him. So I wonder where he got sideways with Trump. He must have just said something in 2016 of we don't want Trump or something. And he thinks Trump's got a long memory. You know what? I would say this. Tim Pawlenty's problem is not Donald Trump. If you and I called Tim Scott and Kevin Cramer, Donald Trump would endorse Tim Pawlenty by the end of the show.
But yes, we can do it
because he's transactional. You can, but I don't think he'd get by the mega crazies. And by mega crazies, I am one. I am one. Okay.
J.D. Vance understood, maybe not right away, but eventually he saw the light and came over to Donald Trump's side.
Yeah, they
and
do.
They're a good team.
And I think, look, Donald Trump is not everybody's flavor of the month. That's okay. But my point is, MAGA, and why I say I'm MAGA crazy, I was wearing a red hat right along with everybody else, and I still have it in my closet. And I think it's wonderful. And I think anybody that argues that a hat that says Make America Great Again is a bad thing is so nuts, it's unbelievable. But that's a whole other show.
Thank you, Scott.
Yeah, thank you.
Thank you, Scott.
Thank you, Crystal. But I'm saying the trouble with the MAGA movement that I am not a part of is that they only care about Donald Trump. And Donald Trump can accomplish nothing without a Republican House and Senate. But they don't go vote when he's not on the ballot. It's a big problem. Folks are working on it, but it's a big problem. Huge. And... they're going to turn up their nose at Pawlenty, too, even though, wouldn't you rather have a Republican senator, even if it's a little Susan Collins-ish, which Tim Pawlenty will never be? Michelle Comer's in the House. That, when we continue on the Steve Hallstrom show. There's one person on the planet that can make Medicare not make your eyes roll into the back of your head, and she's in studio here. Michelle Comer from High Road Partners, proud partner of ours here at Flag Family Media. In many ways, but especially keeping good care of our people to make sure they have a good benefit package, and they do that and a whole lot more. How are you?
I am super. Thank you so much for having me on the show. I'm excited to be back.
So we're going to talk about Medicare, but before we do, I have a question of the day that Addison has not been able to answer yet. Have you been listening at all?
Oh, goodness. I didn't.
So my mom used to say, coincidences are God's sealed orders.
I like that.
Does that make sense?
Yeah, sure does.
What does it mean to you? What is she saying? It took me till 45 to figure it out.
Well, I would say that nothing happens by accident. And when you find yourself in that circumstance where you say, what a coincidence, you need to look up and listen and go, there's a reason I'm here.
You tracking with that, Edison?
I am, yes.
I'll translate what you just said. There's no such thing as a coincidence.
Right.
And that's what I finally figured out. I'm like... I think that's what you should be telling me, and I'm just so dumb I didn't pick it up,
That's what I hear.
So I don't know if that means I went to the gas station and I got gas all over me because I wasn't looking. Maybe it makes me slow down right?
Exactly.
Yeah. So it could be big or small.
Exactly.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And mostly we have to just be in the moment to realize when it is.
Just saw a very short video clip of Charlie Kirk on my way over here.
You're going to make me cry now?
Maybe, but he was speaking of the two things that Jesus said, and I'm going to really short form this, but don't worry about yesterday and don't worry about tomorrow. So it's funny that we're talking about this.
Exactly.
keep yourself in the day.
And what he was talking about, I believe, is a Bible passage that basically says, look, dude, I feed the birds.
Yep.
So you don't think I'm going to feed you?
Yep.
Right?
Yep, that's right.
There'll be food tomorrow if I need it.
Yep.
Okay, make Medicare easy for me. This is all Hallstrom's fault because he is using Grok.
Yeah.
Which I actually love.
Yeah.
For a number of reasons. But anyway, he says, answer this question like I'm a fifth grader, Grok. He's basically taking Medicare, and if the Medicare Advantage plan drama is worth chatting about on my radio show, please give it to me like I'm 16 years old. Mm-hmm. So that's why you're here.
Yeah, it is.
Okay. So he's 16. I'm a fifth grader.
Okay.
All right. So lay it on me.
All right. Well, first of all, I need to know, is Grok a boy or a girl?
I'm not sure, actually. But Elon Musk built it, so... Okay. I would go probably more boy than girl.
Okay.
But I think, unfortunately, they're non-binary.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
And I don't know if that's good or bad, because there are grade school kids that are identifying as non-binary these days, and that's not good. But anyway, I don't know the answer to your question.
Okay. All right. Just curious.
Yeah.
So Medicare, just backing way up, and why we're talking about it now, October 17th, is that it's a very important time of year because annual enrollment period started 2 days ago. This timeline is dictated by the federal government. It lasts until December 7th, and it's the only time, but for some special circumstances, that if you're in a Medicare supplement, Medicare Advantage plan, that you can make a change. So that's a big deal. That's why the timing's important. But backing way up, don't want to assume that other people are as nerdy as I am. What is Medicare? Federal health insurance, mostly for people over 65. A few exceptions to that, too. People with,
what's the difference of Medicaid? That is irregardless of your age and if you have another ailment?
Medicaid is a state program.
Okay.
And, yes, a number of other eligibility requirements. You can be any age.
Got it. Yep. All right, I'm going to go back to listening here.
Yep, yep. So, in our country, there are 69 million people that are projected to be enrolled in Medicare in the coming year, in 2026. And 34 million of those would be on a Medicaid Advantage plan. We don't know what that is yet, but we'll talk about that in a minute because it's important. But if this affects a lot of people. It's like 1.1 million people in Minnesota, 118,000 people here in North Dakota. So if you're not on Medicare and I'm not on Medicare, we know someone who's on Medicare. So it's coming. We should all care about it. So this year's been a really interesting year because the plans and the carriers are changing really radically. And when I was talking to Steve about this topic, and, you know, I did say to him, Steve, like, I don't know if this is interesting enough to talk about on a show, but I know it affects a lot of people and in big, big ways. One of those big ways this year here in North Dakota is that there are a number of plans that are just terminating, they're ending, they're over. And if you're in one of those plans and you don't do something, you do not have a plan for next year. So I have this big commitment to make sure that everybody who's on a plan knows that, or who has a parent or a brother or a sister on a plan, that they have looked at the notice that they're required to get from their carrier and that they've verified that they're still in a plan for next year. Because there are, I would say, thousands and across the country, millions, millions and millions of people that will not be in a plan next year if they don't do something right now.
So what do they do?
Well, what they need to do is they need to, number one, find a plan that works for them. That's complicated.
What if I have no idea how to even begin?
Most people don't.
Yeah.
Most people don't. I'm in this business and it's hard. I'm an attorney. I read for a living. I like complicated things. This is hard. So having a navigator is important.
How do you find a navigator?
Well, High Road Partners, and we didn't intend this to be a commercial for us, but we're a broker. We are a broker for Medicare products.
So I, Scott Hinnon, as an individual can come to you?
Absolutely.
Oh, okay.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Yep. And the number,
as they say, no client's too big or too small.
Right? Yeah. The number of Medicare brokers in the country is decreasing.
How do you get paid?
Great question. And you're going to be so surprised by this, Scott, because we didn't talk about this earlier. How we get paid typically is through the carrier. So the carrier pays us the commission, and then we service the client. We service their broker. Importantly, brokers work with a number of carriers, so we're not influenced by that particular carrier's commission to put a customer and a client in a product that's not good for them.
It's very ethical.
At High Road, we take it one step further, and our agents are not paid by commission at all. They are paid with...
The company gets it, but they're not motivated to sell you one over the other.
Right.
Yeah, because you got to get paid.
Yep.
You got to pay them. You got to pay the light bill.
Yep, exactly.
Yeah. But basically, if I'm coming to you for advice, you're not giving me advice that feathers your nest.
We are.
And you're not even getting paid by me.
Exactly. But guess what the twist is this year? We're not getting paid commission by most of the carriers.
Well, what incentive do you have to help people?
None, other than we care for our clients. Wow. And we have, in our country, millions, and in our community, thousands.
Why are they doing that?
Okay.
Save money?
That's the other great question. So here's the main problem is this year is that we have transitioned over the last, let's see, from 2018 to 2023, Medicaid Advantage plans, their enrollment has increased by over 20%. A Medicaid Advantage plan is a Medicare, it's a Medicare supplemental plan, a Medicare-like plan that's offered by a private carrier. And Scott, those plans in our country are completely underwater by billions and billions of dollars. So carriers are making adjustments, a lot of different adjustments, to save money. They're underwater. That's the answer. And one of them is they're not paying brokers.
Jeez. And meanwhile, this is a nuclear bomb about to go off on the fiscal cliff for America.
That's true. I mean, it is said...
There's not enough dollars going in.
It is said that by 2033, the Hospital Insurance Trust, which is Medicare Part A, will not be able to meet 100% of its payment obligations.
If you had a blank canvas here and said, let me just fix this, what would you do?
I thought you might ask that, and I wanted to have a really intelligent answer, but it's so complicated. It's here's the players, and this is just, you know, this is just the abbreviated list, but the players are, of course, the clients, right, and their own healthcare and their own healthcare needs, the systems, the hospital systems, the you know, healthcare systems, the pharmaceutical companies, the insurance carriers, and they all have competing challenges right now.
So the answer is start over. This is a sticky, wicked mess. It's crazy. Is that nuts? You could never start over. You're stuck here.
Well, you know, I challenge myself to be practical. You know, I have some experience working in government myself. I know how difficult it can be to...
Well, that was difficult?
...to get things done. And I don't actually believe that it's possible to start over. I mean, in reality, I think there's going to have to be some consensus.
Let me give you a crazy idea.
Please.
Dr. Oz?
Yeah.
Interviewed him.
Okay.
Smart guy.
Yeah.
Glad he's where he's at.
Awesome.
Head of CMS.
Yep, for sure.
Center of Medical or Center of
Medicare and Medicaid services. Yes.
He's the boss when it comes to this.
Yep.
He's also an entrepreneur and an innovator and a smart doctor. If we, Michelle Comer, Kevin Cramer, John Hovind, Julie Fedorchuk, John Godfrey, the insurance commissioner, went to Dr. Oz and said, here's the deal. We want to do a pilot project in North Dakota. So we'll prove to the other 49 states. The founding fathers always thought of the states as laboratories of innovation. The states created the federal government. Everybody forgets that because they don't read the Constitution.
Yeah.
What if we said, I think we have a better way. We'll take care of our people. Even maybe say you can opt in on federal. If you love that so much to stay there, nothing will change. But if you go our way, we'll simplify this, cost you less, give you better care. Is that crazy?
It's, you know, I love the idea in theory. I do love it. It would ultimately still require the cooperation of those same players, the systems, the insurers, the pharmaceutical companies, and, you know, us.
So I get what you're saying. We're not a big enough deal to impact the pharmaceutical companies.
I don't know. You know, I mean,
they'd probably have to play.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
And if you could get, if they do
to us what they do to Canada.
Well, exactly. If there was some way to get everyone to play ball, I think that would be fantastic. And I wanted to come here and, you know, radiate positivity while...
I'm messing that up.
No, you know, but while saying, hey, there's something that people really need to care about that's going on out there. You got to look at your mail. But
sadly, While they're looking at their mail, they open it up and they have no idea what it means.
I know.
And sadly, the autopilot mentality of most people is not paying attention to any of this.
Well, and especially when it's complicated.
Right. And if I'm on a fixed income, this is like number 99 on my list of things that I worry about.
And that is exactly the reason why people need to be worrying about this right now, because
it's very important.
They're losing coverage in some cases. In other cases, their prices are going up. And
ethical people need to pay attention. Unethical people, for lack of a better term, say somebody is just, they have mental health issues. Mm-hmm. They're not capable of doing this. They don't have a loved one that does it. And they get very sick. They're going to the ER, and you and I are paying for it.
Yep.
So they'll have health care.
Yep.
But sadly, there's a better way. It's less costly.
Very true.
I don't know how you go to those people and help them if they don't have a family member, but we can't fix that today. What we can fix is the people that are not paying attention to the envelope start paying attention.
Absolutely.
Because what happens if they don't pay attention?
So a couple things. One is, if you're in a plan that's terminating and going away, you literally do not have coverage next year. It's gone. So
you got to go do private pay or something into Fortune? Couldn't even get coverage?
No. I mean, there's a myriad of rules that attach to that, and that would dictate what your options
are. There's no COBRA. There's no I screwed up. There's nothing.
No, your plan goes away. And and I have to be clear, there's some exceptions. You know, this is an enormously regulated space, and therefore today I'm not going to talk about carriers or plans specifically. But what I do want is for people to look at their mail. If you're in a plan that's terminating, get to see a broker and have them help you. You know, guide you to the right spot. And if you're look at your notice, no matter what, because there's a high likelihood that your costs are going up some substantially that will make a big, big difference for people that are on a fixed income.
People that are on Medicare know they're on Medicare.
Yes.
So they're at least cognizant that, you know, I got to deal with this at some point. You're saying it's once a year, and if you don't, it's bad. And you even have to do this to renew, right?
Well, that's a great point. If you're in a plan that's serving you, you do not have to
opt in or whatever. Okay.
But that's why this year is so unusual, is because we've got those plans that are terminating. So we've had a little bit of that in the past. You probably read about it in the news. You know, Humana is leaving certain counties or regions or systems. But this year it is much, much more widespread. It's affecting, like, in our client base, thousands of customers.
So if I'm on plan A and that provider or that company is going away, I do have to opt in on a new one.
You do.
Or I don't have coverage.
Correct.
And that's what the letter is about.
That's correct.
So what if I don't even know? I threw the letter away. I thought it was junk mail. How do I start now?
Well, you would want to know what plan you're on. Most people would. And, you know, I'm going to refrain from naming the carriers, but most people would know I'm with something that rhymes with Shumana. And
I'm trying to figure that out.
Yeah, yeah. Contact the carrier. Do the 1-800 number. Track it down. They are required to. All carriers are required to send all of their clients what's called an annual notice of change, or ANOC, by October 1st. So everyone should have received that, and that's what you want to be looking at. The plans that are terminating are required to send more than one notice.
This is scary stuff. We only have about 4 or 5 minutes left here. But I think the most important thing is, it is what it is. Mm-hmm. And now you just got to manage your own personal situation. Mm-hmm. What I would do is drive my vehicle downtown Fargo and go to 209 MP Avenue and say, Michelle, help me.
Yes.
Yeah, and maybe you need a loved one to say, hey, did you get that letter?
Yep.
And I just heard this on the radio.
That's what I want your listeners to hear for their moms and their dads. Absolutely. And give us a call. We're at, you know, we are in downtown Fargo. We're at info@highroadpartners.com. High Road Partners.
I'll say all this again before we're done.
Yep.
So get a pen if you want that.
Yep.
And you'll be able to help. Gosh, what a mess.
Yeah, it's a big deal.
Who's sending the letters? Is the provider?
Mm-hmm. Okay. Yes, the provider. So look for that envelope from, you know, whoever your provider is.
And the federal government underwrites that, or they basically?
Great question. Quick explanation here. So you've got Medicare supplements that are held by private carriers, and then Medicare Advantage plans that replace original Medicare. Supplements sit side by side original Medicare.
I'm sorry I asked,
you know,
by the way.
I know.
It's just insane.
It is. It is complicated. And that's just level one of, you know, many, many levels of complexity.
Write this number down. All right. 701 997-3734. Their website is highroadpartners.com. And what was the email address?
info@highroadpartners.com.
But if it were me, I'd just go to MP Avenue and find my... What are you across from at Vogel?
Vogel, yeah. Super busy time of year. We really need you to make an appointment. You will totally believe this, but because of the government regulations, we have to have you sign a form 48 hours before we can even talk to you.
Oh, dear Lord.
Yep.
So get ahead of this. The clock's ticking.
It is, yep. Now till December 7th.
I'm going to get on the website and... The website is highroadpartners.com, but I'm going to get on the website localsloveus.com and vote for you guys.
Thank you. We would love that.
Because locals do love them.
We would love
Michelle
that.
Comer, you made it easy.
Thanks, Scott.
Thank you. Hey, it's Scott Hannon in for Steve Hallstrom today. We swapped. He took my morning show, and I'm taking his afternoon show. And it's kind of fun because by this time of the day, Addison, I don't care what I say. I'm just, there's no filter. You know what I'm saying?
It's just one of those shows we've got. It's just the magic of our time slot.
Exactly. I'm a little worn out. Hey, a Valley Christian Counseling and Wellness phone line ready for you. If you got a question or comment anytime, 701-271-1100. ValleyChristian.com, is it? This might be a typo. ValleyChristian.co. And Valley Christian Counseling and Wellness phone line, 701-271-1100. Also brought to you by the folks at Drive With Vision. What are you driving, a Ford or a Lincoln? And I'll tell you what, they've got service techs at Vision Ford Lincoln that make more money per hour than anywhere in a five-state area. But wait, there's more. No weekends, full benefits. Think about that. A lot of these guys are working crazy hours and weekends and maybe you get benefits, maybe you don't. Most have benefits, I think, but they don't pay you 40-some-odd bucks an hour to come down there immediately. So, drivewithvision.com. You got somebody that's a wicked good mechanic. My grandpa was. Grandpa Ray, he'd be loving that 40 bucks an hour for sure. And by Rowan Joe today, I know we all are some version of a hoarder these days. It's just unbelievable how much stuff people get. And then they have storage spaces through the crap they don't need. So if you're in that camp or know somebody who is, parents who lived through World War II and don't want to throw anything away, rowandjoejunk.com. That's row as in R-O-E, an N instead of and, rowandjoejunk.com. So I want to talk a little bit about data centers. Secretary Doug Burgum, a friend of this program, says don't call them data centers. They're actually intelligence factories. And he's right. Data centers are like, okay, we're processing Medicare forms at Blue Cross Blue Shield. That's a data center managing data. They do a lot more than that. And one person that has probably forgot more about these operations than I'll ever know is Wes Cummins. Wes is the founder, CEO of Applied Digital. You're the founder, right? You're the guy that thought this idea up. Am I right?
I am. Yeah. I am, Scott. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, glad to have you back. Applied Digital is the company. They have Jamestown, Allendale now, which is probably one of the most interesting data center operations in the country because it's bringing generational change in a good way and potentially even, families and houses and things in Allendale, North Dakota that never on their best day could have happened. And then most recently announced in Harwood. Is Doug Burgum right? These are really intelligence factories, Wes?
They are. They're very different than the data center that, people honestly didn't know about until the data centers become a big topic. But data center, of the past and still the present, Scott, I don't want to say that these are changing or going away. They're still actually growing as well. But data centers were mostly every app that you use on your phone, your Netflix at home, YouTube, the way you text people, the way that a lot of times if we FaceTime or make calls, anything that you use is in traditional data centers, it's more content, video streaming. And then what we're building is, artificial intelligence factories. And so what's made in there is you take a ton of data and a ton of compute. So previous data centers were more based on communications. This is a lot of compute. Think of doing math and and it does a lot of compute and takes the information and builds applications. If we use ChatGPT or any other artificial intelligence application, this is what these factories do, is they make those, that they make the application by processing all of the data and building the model. And then they also do the interaction with the model, which is called inference. So if you ask ChatGPT a question, it goes into our data center, processes, comes back to your phone.
So I'm just going to use an example. I've been watching a lot of videos on YouTube of Charlie Kirk for many reasons, probably watched more YouTube, if you will, in the last month than I ever have. And so what you're saying is, okay, there's a new user, and now he likes it, so he does it every day, and oh my gosh, you know, texting, whatever, all of this requires you to do what you do. So, I mean, there's more today than there was yesterday, and a week from now, it's going to be even more. This just is growing like insanity growth, right?
Yeah, so the artificial intelligence portion, and we call it the intelligence era, is a new application. So we're building on top of those that everyone has used, but data centers were, you know, they were always built in metropolitan centers. They were built in population centers. And with the artificial intelligence factories, we can do these in more remote locations because it's much more compute intensive and a lot less communications intensive. So you don't need, you know, sub 3 millisecond latency so that you get a really good experience with your video streaming app. It's done with the compute, and then it really needs a lot of power. We use a lot of power and a lot of server capacity to do this. And these are the applications that are coming in the future. And this is, you know, if you need to make a legal document for yourself and you don't want to use a lawyer, you can do it with ChatGPT. If you want a recipe to cook tonight, you can ask ChatGPT. You can do anything that people, you know, if you ask kids that are probably 18 years and younger, that you're starting to hear a lot more of, I'm not going to Google it, I'm going to ask chat, right? And it's the next evolution of what we're doing.
Yeah, I got to tell you,
intelligence.
Yeah, I got to tell you a quick story. So my daughter, a youngest daughter, just moved to New York City, and she was applying for a job in New York City and doesn't know what the tax rate is in New York City for obvious reasons, neither do I. It doesn't know what she's going to end up paying in rent, even though her sister's there, and she's thinking, you know, will I pay more or less than her? And then, you know, she's 22 and likes to get her hair done and nails. And so she's going through, like, you know, groceries and all of this stuff, right? She took to Grok and said, how much do I need to do this for student loans, this for all of these other things, rent and everything else, pay taxes, so that, you know, I can do this, you know, and then I'll decide whether I take this job or that job. That took 30 seconds in Grok.
And it gives you full detail, right? It doesn't route you to several potential websites that may have the answer for you, plus, you know, six different advertisements that sit at the top of those suggestions. It just gives you full answers to what you're looking for. I always talk about artificial intelligence as really the most equalizing technology that humanity has ever seen. You know, I grew up watching PBS. And we watch a show called The Reading Rainbow. And they used to always say knowledge is power. But it's very true. But now every person with a smartphone, whether you use Grok, whether you use chat, whether you use Anthropic solution, Gemini, you have PhD level expertise and knowledge in any subject that you want. So everyone is equalizing the playing field from a knowledge and information based perspective. So I truly view it as the most equalizing thing that has ever happened in the history of humanity.
And we get to see it. We get to live through it. So it's, to me, an extraordinarily exciting time. It'd be like, Henry Ford, your neighbor, and you're thinking, why is he tinkering in his garage? And all of a sudden there's an automobile. You know, I mean, and that's just mind-blowing, and what the automobile did, and, you know, trains before that. And, you know, I mean, just wrap your mind around that. Now, a lot of people don't like the idea that any data center / intelligence factory is being considered for North Dakota, because either some version of they hate AI and think it's going to be the devil incarnate. They don't want cement trucks going by their house to build one. It's just a great unknown. And we all know about Stuart regions and the great unknown. The answer is no, no matter what the question is. So when we come back for the break, Wes, I want to talk a little bit about how you address those concerns. from whether it's neighbors in Hartwood or Ellendale or Jamestown, all the way up to somebody that doesn't have one in their backyard, but how does it benefit them? So we'll do that with Wes Cummins, the founder of Applied Digital. Have more data centers currently, intelligence factories in North Dakota than anybody else. A lot of other players, obviously, are in North Dakota now. Atlas is one. We're going to talk to them a little later on. Armada is another one. And Kevin O'Leary's kicking tires and suggesting people come. And by the way, every entity that Wes just talked about related to Google, Meta, Facebook is Meta, but you get the point, Amazon, they are all coming to these people and saying, we need this yesterday. So that's scary to some. Not to me. I'm excited, but what do I know? More after this on What's On Your Mind. Back on What's On Your Mind, texture here says, where is the paradise? I think they're talking about that farmhouse bunker, and they want to know where it's located. Would you say that's probably right?
I'd say so, yeah.
Yeah, this is a property we've been talking about for some time, and it is actually owned by some friends of mine that for a number of reasons are going to be moving to South Dakota, and they have this wonderful property, 300 acres of production crop agriculture, and 20 acres of like all this paradise of choke cherries and, you know, trails and everything else. 3,000 square foot home, 3,000 square foot bunker underneath the home. You never know. And it is for sale right now. And I have the connection to give you more information or show you the property or whatever. If you email me, ScottH@flagfamily.com, ScottH@flagfamily.com, or text me at 701-367-2054. I'll give you all the details. But to answer the question, where is the paradise? It's within 2 hours of Fargo, is what I say. And it's not in South Dakota, and it's not in North Dakota, so you figure that out. But it's probably less than 2 hours by, I don't know. It's hour and a half tops, okay? So there you go. It's not in Canada either. Wes Cummins is with us, founder of Applied Digital. Let's deal with the sort of elephant in the room. Nationally, I get the story. You know, I drive down the interstate in Phoenix and you see 20 of these things, and it doesn't matter because you can't tell the difference between that and some warehouse. But you're, for instance, building one of these in Harwood. How many square feet would once built the Harwood facility be, Wes?
So the buildings are about 900,000 square feet, and we're building two of them right now.
They
will look like a distribution warehouse, yes.
So like Amazon, because I think that's a million square feet, if I'm not mistaken.
Yep.
Okay. Yep. My understanding is where you're putting them is significant here. So talk about the land they would go on, these data centers you're building.
Yeah, so we're right just outside of downtown Harwood, but we moved these far enough away so that any disturbance, the low noise that they create, I think with you about this before, the noise is really cooling. So it's like a little bit larger scale heat pump, like the one that sits outside your house and the fan blowing. And that's the primary noise. The actual servers are enclosed inside of concrete walls, so you never hear anything from the servers, EMF, all of that stuff. So these will be buildings that have, once constructed, very little traffic. And they'll just operate. We'll almost never notice any noise or anything happening from the buildings. Creates a good number of high paying jobs, but not so many. The reason I love it for towns like Harwood and towns like Ellendale is it doesn't overwhelm the town. It doesn't change the structure of the town, but it provides some new economic growth. And most importantly, provides huge tax revenue for towns like this. And when I go talk to the mayor, I go talk to the city council, you know, these towns, if they're 1,000 residents, I think Harwood's 800, Ellendale's 1,100, just providing a clean water system, sewage, roads, the basic infrastructure for people living there is really difficult for towns of this size without doing special tax levies all the time for any project they need to do. For both Harwood and for Ellendale, I think these are a thing of the past for them. I think the residents are going to see tax cuts. I think school districts like in Ellendale are going to become some of the wealthiest school districts in the state. So overall, you know, I'm Scott, I'm from a town of 200 people, and to be able to bring these types of high impact from a beneficial perspective projects with really low impact on what change it makes to the town, I'm really proud to be able to bring these with bleeding edge technology into parts of America that have, you know, historically just been left behind by technology.
And I believe your motives are pure for all those reasons you mentioned to do that. I would say when you talk about growth, growth is good in my mind, because if you're not growing, you're dying. So if I'm a hardwood, like, you know, look at the opportunity you have here. Maybe you have the best and largest swimming pool or indoor water park or, you know, a high school football field that looks like Field of Dreams. So you can do big things, but some people in hardwood just like it being sleeping hardwood. So how do you deal with that?
The beauty of this is it stays sleepy hardwood. It stays sleepy Ellendale. It stays small town. So we bring in, you know, let's focus on our Ellendale campus for a little bit. At Ellendale, we end up with 200 or 300 jobs at the site full time, very well paid jobs. And as you know, in North Dakota, in the smaller towns, people are used to commuting 45 minutes or an hour to go to work in a neighboring town. So some of those people will be in Harwood. Some of them will be in Aberdeen. Some of them will be in Jamestown. Some will be in neighboring towns similar to Harwood, or they'll come, you know, from Fargo, wherever that might be. But the beauty of these projects is opportunity does present itself. We've had people that grew up in Ellendale, North Dakota, that moved away because there was no opportunity for them from an economic perspective, that have now moved back to their hometown. But it does create that opportunity, but it stays the same community that people love. Just now they don't have to do tax for water. They don't have to do tax for sewer. They don't have to do tax for roads. This is all taken care of because of the immense amount of property tax and other revenue that will be generated from our facilities.
Yeah, and there's a lot of good in that. Now, I think, unfortunately, North Dakota has a growing amount of NIMBY that is really a very, very dangerous mentality. And everybody knows, I think, that NIMBY is not in my backyard, right? I don't want it. And I believe there's bad actors exploiting that because they don't like you, Wes, number one, because you're a capitalist and an entrepreneur, and they don't like that. They want people addicted to government. And just a political statement that has the benefit of being true. And they also very often are pawns / useful idiots working for lawyers that are trying to cost you a lot of legal money and slow things up so you'll just write big checks. And that really makes me mad because they are exploiting the fear of people. But it's real and it happens, and it's happened in North Dakota multiple times. How do you deal with that?
So this is a broader conversation about, you know, the litigious nature and the tort system in America, but you're always going to have those types of things. The thing that we do as a company, it's a big mantra of mine in life and inside the company, is you do things the right way. We do things the right way. We're transparent. As you know, in Harwood, we did this in Ellendale. In Harwood, we held a town hall meeting before the city council meeting. We answered questions. We've been extraordinarily transparent about the project, about what the impacts, about what the downfalls of the project are. But we want people to be informed, and we want to be as transparent as possible and good partners inside of a community. And overwhelmingly in the towns that we're in, we get a massive amount of support. The vast majority of residents of the towns really are excited about these projects. They're excited about the benefits it's going to bring to their town. What you do get, and what we've started to get, is just overall, you know, AI has become a big thing, and AI data centers, and so you're going to start to get the environmental groups and these activists that move around. When we sat at the city council meeting for Harwood, you know, the vast majority, and was the people who were, you know, had, say, call it expressed concerns, or just clearly were outright against the project, they're not from Harwood. They're not, most of them, not even from the state of North Dakota, because North Dakota is, you know, from my experience, there is a pro-business state. It's an independent, you know, less government type of state, and they welcome these types of opportunities, especially in a state, Scott, where you're already generating all of this energy. You know, North Dakota, I believe, generates 8 times the amount of energy in the state that they use in the state. And so you're taking all of that energy production and you're shipping it out to states, you're shipping it to Canada. And, you know, Doug Burgum, when he was governor, this is when we started in the state, his big push was to utilize that energy in the state that you're already making for the benefit, the economic benefit of the citizens of North Dakota. And we're a perfect example of that. And we're a way to do that. And that's why we've worked so well in the state. And then you'll see, you know, the mayor from Ellendale came to the city council meeting in Harwood because it's been a great project for his town and he's seeing the benefit in his town. And the Harwood mayor, Blake, has been great to work with, and he sees the benefit of his town. And these guys, you know, they're mayors of a person, you know, 800-person town. And I don't even think they get paid to do this, but they just want what's best for their community. And they push and, you know, they take a beating in some cases to go and do this. But it's definitely a great project. These projects are great projects, and you'll see really good reviews in any, you know, publication, or if you talk to the residents. There is always a hassle with in the construction phase. That when you look at the life of the project, you know, these things, we signed 15-year contracts. These are 30 or 50-year assets. And so you do deal with some extra traffic during the construction phase, but then it just kind of turns into this fixture that you don't even, you know, really notice in the town. And it just generates a lot of economic benefit for the region.
So, yeah, a little pain before the gain, but the outcome's good. I have two quick questions for you. They have to be quick because I have literally less than a minute before I have to go to break. One is, did Fargo screw up in this by moving too fast on the annexation? And literally, while you're moving dirt, they're talking about taking some of this land. Was that a screw up on Fargo's part?
Fargo operates the way they want to operate. It's the elected officials there. Would love to work with Fargo, you know, in the future, just kind of the way it went in an accelerated time frame. Didn't really work out for us, but, you know, we want to be good partners with anyone that's there. Just Harwood at this time was a better choice as a partner for us and a community that really welcomed what we were doing into it.
Makes sense. And the last thing is, when this was announced, there was a front page Fargo Forum story. The headline at the top was power bills are going up because XL Energy needs more money for more infrastructure. And then 10 paragraphs down, they said, well, data centers are part of this, raising your costs. Do you believe that power rates are going to go up, like XL Energy says they're going to go up because of you doing what you're doing?
So again, what we do, let me give you the experience we've had in Ellendale. In Ellendale, for 2 years in a row, we've been running about 200 megawatts there. The residents in the area have saved over $5 million each year on their tax, or not on their tax, on their electricity bills compared to the previous year. So they've saved that much. And the reason is because we're using energy that's already there. We use infrastructure that's already there. And in some cases, if it's not there, we pay for the infrastructure. And so if you use just the way the utility system works, right, the utility gets paid a yield on CapEx. And so if there's no real additional CapEx, but they're making a lot more money in the state of North Dakota, they put that money back to their constituents, to their customers. And so in Ellendale, we've saved money, and I think it'll be a similar outcome in Harwood in an area because we choose areas that have excess energy already. They have excess energy, and then we use it, and you get to use it all at one place. So there's very little CapEx that goes into that versus, you know, using the same amount of energy across homes that you need to string lines to.
I'm going to cut to the chase and say that XL Energy should not be saying they're raising rates based on data centers because you don't need what they have. Beyond what you're getting from Minnkota Power. Is that a fair statement?
As far as I know, and again, like I said, what we've seen in Ellendale is that we've actually lowered rates by utilizing the infrastructure with a higher utilization and power that's already available. It's lowered rates for the surrounding residents there.
Yeah. So XL Energy is maybe needing to raise rates, but has nothing to do with the data center in Harwood.
Yeah, you know, utilities typically want to raise rates, get better return for their investors. And I don't know XL, but investor-owned utilities specifically.
This is a good conversation. Love to keep it going. Thanks for being bullish about North Dakota. We appreciate it.
We love it there. Thanks, Scott.
Wes Cummins, founder of Applied Digital. Buddy of mine met him on a plane, and we've forged a pretty good relationship, and I love the conversations, and I love that the founder is willing to be transparent. All right, there's another intelligence factory in western North Dakota you need to know about. A little different model, because they're actually needing to build a power plant for this one, but that's okay, too. We'll talk with Jeff Young from Atlas when we come back. Right, back on What's on Your Mind, brought to you today by Warden Ward. I'm sorry. Addison keeps reminding me that this is the Steve Hallstrom Show, and I do a show called What's on Your Mind.
Just, we won't let you get away with
it. It's just second nature. Can we ask people what's on their mind on the Steve Hallstrom Show? How about that?
I'll let it fly.
Warden Ward will take care of you. Your next Lincoln is waiting, and that Blue Cruise is pretty cool. I put in, last time I took a test drive, I was going a little north of Wahpeton, and I put in the GPS where I was going, and it took me off the next exit. I didn't do anything.
It just did it, really?
Knows where to go.
Wow.
Knows how to stop.
Every time I get in a car that's newer than mine, I'm amazed at what they can do.
Well, they won't let you leave a Vision Ford Lincoln until you know, so it's kind of fun. A lot of car dealerships don't do that. 19 before the top of the hour, Jeff Young is here from a company called Atlas. They have intelligence factories in operation. They're looking at others. They're cooperating relating to a power plant to fund them with a gold standard brand in North Dakota in power providers. So a lot to learn in the next few minutes here. Jeff, how's it going?
Doing well. How are you doing?
Doing good. Jeff and I sat next together at lunch in Medora one day, and I learned a whole bunch. So thank you for that.
Well, you're welcome.
Enjoy learning from people like Jeff and the team at Atlas and others as well. You probably heard a little bit of my conversation with Wes, and there is some measure of controversy, really nationwide, but certainly in North Dakota, about, you know, data centers, all I've ever heard about them is my power costs more. So no thank you. What would you say to that?
Well, I think that's a big misnomer, right? So, but it is what's out there, especially data centers like we operate that are tier zero. You know, that they still have a lot of damage related to being, you know, Bitcoin mining and that, you know, viewpoint. But a lot of what we do, specifically what Atlas does, is we do a lot of flexibility with our model and with our power utilization and putting power back onto the grid. And it works really well in markets like North Dakota, where you know, renewable energies are a high portion of the grid mix. And so you have what's called a duck curve, and you know, there's times where there's a glut of power and there's times where there's not as much power, which is, you know, economic with how the prices go. And so we try to use power in that band. So, you know, on the bottom end, we can help support prices and pay for CapEx and infrastructure and help keep rates competitive. And then on the top end, we put power back in the market so that rates are lower for the consumers. And you know, that's really kind of the business model that we run in North Dakota, and we do similar in others. And yeah, I heard Wes say it. We have the same thing with our, we have facilities nationwide, but you know, in all of the locations we are in, we've reduced the power rates for the ratepayers in those locations,
so,
which we're very proud of.
Yeah, don't judge us until you know the facts. And we actually have done opposite of what you're concerned about, is what you're saying to the neighbors there. And just help me understand from the standpoint of somebody on a fixed income in Trenton, North Dakota, seeing all this you know, activity going on, what's in it for me? How would you answer that question? I heard you say, you know, one, we're going to pay for our own stuff, so it's not going to cost you more for the power, because there's no reason for the power company to charge you more because we pay for everything. And then you also said we'll put power back on the grid, and I assume you sell that for less than they would get it from somebody else, so you're lowering the cost to the provider. But what does that mean to a fixed income retired person?
Yeah, so and those people actually are on our minds when we look at sites and develop sites. And the way that we try to make sure we partner with our utility partners, but specifically, you know, to that fixed income person, if they have a data center coming to their location, you know, I'm an environmental engineer. So when you said NIMBY earlier, it kind of made me chuckle because I say that in meetings and people look at me funny. But they have the not in my backyard kind of mentality. And you have to think about, well, first and foremost, you need to ask what kind of data center this, right? Because if it's the name brand, credit worthy, you know, high end data center, that's the old school cloud data center, they turn on and they run and they do suck power. And so they need to be in very specific locations where there's a glut of power and they don't have the flexibility model. If it's these newer AI where they have some flexibility and some use case, there's multiple variants of that versus, you know, edge compute to critical compute. And so the big question they need to ask is what type of data center is coming, and then how are they representing it, that data center and its components to the utility? That needs to be the first question that any ratepayer or any consumer asks.
Yeah, good answer there for sure. Trust but verify. You know, I mean, I trust you, Jeff. You said that you've done this other places and Atlas is everywhere. So help me verify that for sure. How are you getting your power? You're talking about having enough power to put more power on the grid. Who's generating that power for you?
So at our Williston facility, we are a grid facility. So Basin Electric is who is our power provider. It's MWEC, Upper Missouri, then Basin is our ultimate provider of our generated power. And so that's how we get our power currently. That relationship will maintain. We're in a captive market there. We're working on some partnerships with those players to do some other things that's pretty creative and pretty exciting. But yeah, so we'll stay on grid through our expansion in North Dakota.
Yeah, interesting. When will you have that power?
That's a great question. So we have our approved load studies and in hand, and we're working with our counterparties to develop a plan that gets us the power as soon as possible, but in a reliability perspective to where as we draw power, we don't impact their current ratepayers and we don't strand any assets. But also they have to look at us as, you know, how do we determine this credit risk and how do we partner with someone that we're not sure what the use case is going to be on the expansion megawatts. And so, you know, they have a lot of questions. There's been a pendulum shift because everybody ran to North Dakota because of you know, comment that Wes made is, you know, the 6 or 8 times the glut of power. It's renewable power as a large portion of it. So that's not a constant, right? So there's a big delta change there that happens quite a bit. And so now that all of the developers have come in and the big players have come in and said, hey, we're going to look at North Dakota, they've put in these load studies and load requests with the various utilities, and it's given the utilities who've grown at 1% a year for decades and decades this 30, 40, 50, 80% exponential growth opportunity, and they are not suited to handle it. And so there's been a little bit of a fear and a little bit of a constriction, and how do we deal with this and how do we manage it? And so, but being there, being local, you know, having roots in the ground and roots in the community, and it has really helped them understand who we are, how we operate, what our load looks like, what our load factor, not to get, you know, technical. I'm not a technical electrical engineer, but, you know, they know what we look like. They know what we do. They know how we operate. And so it's given them some ease to how that's going to look as it grows. But again, the regulations as they sit today are really difficult and a quagmire for not just us, but for all players and for the utilities themselves on how they treat certain loads and other loads. And so we're working through it, but you know, I'll be honest with you. It's not happening as fast as we want, nor as fast as the utility would like to see either, frankly.
And probably not as fast as your customer needs it.
No, and it's not. And you know, in this administration and really in my career, this is the first administration that's really taken this issue head on, and made it a national security issue, but also has made it an issue for you know, you hear it as a national security issue, you hear the grid redundancy and all of this, but really we have aging infrastructure in the United States, and it was built on a model of we're going to spread the costs across these rate bases and these communities because that's how we can get this infrastructure paid for. And that worked in the 40s and 50s, and frankly, it worked on through this 1% kind of year-over-year growth. But when you see a facility like ours that comes in that's, you know, 450 megawatts, that's, you know, tens of thousands of houses, that model doesn't work. It's broken for that model. So we need to pay for our share. We need to pay for everything that we do and everything that we consume and everything that we as a cost. And we need to be independent of that some way. And we're okay with doing that. And honestly, most of the players in the space are okay with doing that. But then you have the regulations that get in the way. And a lot of times say, you know, they kind of make it difficult for us to do those things. And so it's this balancing act. And it's really nice to see this administration understand and take this head on and make it a priority.
Yeah, and it's very important. And by the way, I would credit 90% of that to Doug Burgum, who now chairs the National Energy Council for that exact reason, right? I mean, he...
Absolutely.
Yeah, and he gets up every day saying, if we don't win, China will win. So that's why this is important. And to what Jeff is saying is, look, we're going as fast as we can, but not as fast as we need. And so this is North Dakota's opportunity to me. Yeah, the federal government's leaning in right now, great, but the state needs to lean in too and just break China. Am I wrong?
No, you're absolutely correct. But it's not just a state. It's not just a state issue. Remember, the way these are set up in these co-ops and these municipalities, and the way that the electric PUCs were all set up, there's all these different levels of below state governance, and they all need to come and work together with Secretary Burgum and with the governor, and understanding that this is a priority and how do we align this? I mean, you're seeing it now come down from FERC and even from SPP, which is the ISO that we sit in North Dakota. We're seeing the movement, but there needs to be more cohesion. And that's really the part that's a little bit disheartening to us, because we can see the top level movement. We can see the movement with our direct bilateral counterparties at the utility level. But there's still so much in the middle that a lot of people miss that we still need help kind of dragging that along.
Yeah, and that cohesion comes at a cost because of the speed you need to do it at, and it scares, single income. So there's a lot of explanation to do on all this, but a heck of an opportunity that North Dakota needs to wrap its arms around and take advantage of this because they're doing so much. I only have 2 minutes left, Jeff. I want to just give you a couple of questions from listeners. Why aren't these AI data centers being powered by Nuke?
That's a great question. And so SMRs are on our to-do list. The technology's not really there yet, but it is definitely. We have other sites that we are looking for SMR partners and for academic partners that we can move into that direction. But to win the race, you've got to have what we call bridge generation. Some people call it, you know, intermittent generation or interim generation. Something has to happen between today and 20 years from now when SMRs and nukes are ready to go. And that's thermal, that's natural gas, that's recips, that's turbines, that's all of those things. Yes, it's solar. We can get into the details on, you know, solar, the best solar in the world works half a day, right? And so it only works when the sun's shining, and the wind's great when the wind blows, but it actually causes these huge economic issues in the market. So we've got to watch that too. So thermal's definitely the way to go, and we definitely push that, but SMRs are important.
And my answer to that is you need it all. You need everything, and just a matter of when that's ready. But the stranded natural gas is the Swiss Army knife of energy, so you obviously start there. Fascinating conversation, Jeff. Let's keep it going. Thanks for the time today. We'll talk again soon.
Sounds good. Thank you.
It's a little data center 101, but let's call them intelligence factories, and no different than our farmers, our food factories. That's how you need to think about this, and it brings our kids and grandkids home. It generates tax revenue. There's a lot to love in it. I get it scares you. Understand it and know that we need to win this race no matter what, or China will. That's a wrap. I'll see you tomorrow on the other show. God bless.